Just like that, we're into the month of December. It's time to break down week 9 of the NHL regular season from a betting perspective. Hello and welcome to another fine collaboration between the NHL and the Action Network. Nick and Nick with you today. Nick collaboration. Nick and Nick Alberga and Nick Barton. A lot of Nicks in this conversation. What's going on, Nick?
Not a lot, Nick. Good. Thanks for having me. Pumped to be here.
I am pumped to be with you as well. Again, it's crazy how quickly time flies in a week 9 of the betting format and betting perspective here in the NHL world. Let's dive into it. Any trends, themes that you're looking at this week?
Yeah, the number one trend I'm seeing is all these comebacks that we're seeing in the NHL, crazy historic rates. You can capitalize on that with some live betting. I think a perfect example of a spot like that came yesterday with the Stars coming back at home from 5-1 down. I think you could see at 5-4 they were pushing, and it was definitely going to be a very live underdog bet that they were going to tie the game quite often. Obviously, they did go on to lose the game. But the point is that these live algorithms, they're set to, they've been based upon years of play where comebacks aren't happening at this level. So if you can get a team like a Dallas at 8-1 in a spot like that, where we can all kind of see they're driving the play, they're going to tie it up oftenly. I think that's a really good angle to watch live betting wise. And you know, you don't have to be a genius to spot it. I think, you know, if you put a lot of hockey fans watch that third period, you'd probably be able to pick out that they were pretty live to tie the game. So yeah, I think that's a really interesting angle to capitalize on betting wise.
Yeah, generally speaking, it's all about feel. And I think you're so right. When you're watching an NHL game specifically, you have sort of a feel, even when it's like 2-3-0, you just have a feel of where a game could go. So that's a really good point to bring up, is capitalizing on comebacks. Since we're on that conversation, point streak versus point streak coming up on Tuesday night, Robertson against Marner. Have you been dabbling on both guys lately?
I've been dabbling, but the markets are getting, they're pretty onto it. Obviously, when guys get on point streaks like that, you're not going to find a ton of value backing those players.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the shot props are something to look at. Certainly the point props. The Marner anytime goal has been hitting quite a bit at plus 230. I got it on Saturday, so something to look at. Moving forward, you look at this week's schedule as well, Nick. A very busy week, 51 games total. 12 different teams with 4 game slates. I'm going to rifle them off quickly. Arizona, Boston, Calgary, Colorado, Columbus, Florida, Los Angeles, Philly, St. Louis, Vegas, Washington, and Winnipeg. I want to talk about the Colorado Avalanche on this week's show. A 4-game week. They're really banged up, man. Look at their infirmary. Lehkonen, Landeskog, Nichushkin, Byram, Helm, McDermott, Manson, Kaut, and Rodriguez. Do you think it's a good week to fade in the Colorado Avalanche?
It'll be a good week to fade the Avalanche for sure. I think sides-wise, you got to keep in mind just how depleted they are. This is not the Colorado Avalanche that we're used to seeing, even if some of the big names like MacKinnon, Rantanen, and Makar are still there. Obviously, when you get to the point where they're missing so many guys, you have to factor that in price-wise. And I think there's a really good angle to touch on with prop markets there, especially with a team like the Avalanche, who've got the new hooks, the Compers, guys like that, who are still really capable players sliding up the lineup. That's a great angle to target. Like, someone's going to get that Lehkonen spot on PP1, that sort of thing. So it's going to be important to watch the morning skates and kind of see who's trending where.
Yeah, DFS is going to be intriguing for me, because I don't know who it's going to be playing with the big boys on the top line. Maybe it's Cogliano. Maybe it's Alex Galchenyuk. Maybe it's a JT Compher who just rolls up and they stack line one. Like, it is interesting from a DFS standpoint. And again, it's always so difficult to fade Colorado, but man, they're really, really banged up. So certainly look at that. At Philly, home to Boston, home to the Rangers, at St. Louis, a 4-game week here. Speaking of the Boston Bruins, Nick, one spot I really, really like that I'm high on, and I hope I'm correct on it. I love the revenge narrative. Bruce Cassidy returns to the Garden on Monday night. The Boston Bruins are a perfect 14-0 on home ice. Does it end? Jack Eichel's a Mass native too, right?
I'm with you. I think it ends tonight, and we're definitely getting a good price to back it. They're not dominating at such a, I guess, at a really good performance Saturday, but the streak's kind of been due to end. There's been some lucky wins. I thought the Carolina win was a really lucky win for them. At this point, I think you're either targeting a Boston loss or staying off, especially they're such a heavy favorite versus a team as good as Vegas. I definitely don't see much value backing them at that price.
No, it's got out of hand. That's for sure. I think more specifically to that game, I would look at some shot props with Jack Eichel. He's been ripping the puck this season, maybe some point props as well. There's got to be money on the board from a Bruce Cassidy perspective. And you know, since we're on the Boston conversation as well, like Linus Allmark, how impressed have you been with his season? I know he probably might creep into the Vezina conversation if this keeps up, right?
Yeah, Bruins fans will say he's the Vezina winner. My argument against that would be that they have been so good defensively and that perhaps down the stretch, they're going to lean on Swayman a little more, especially if they're super well situated in the standings. Obviously, Swayman's a really strong backup option. So I think that kind of hurts his chances. That steers me off that track a little bit. And to give one more actionable prop on this game, and it ties into a narrative we love where it's just someone going into a significantly heightened role. Shea Theodore with Pietrangelo has slid up to the top power play unit. That's a strong power play unit. So obviously targeting his shots on goal, his points for the time being with Pietrangelo out holds some strong value.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I was completely wrong on the Vegas Golden Knights. I buried them quite a bit in our offseason stuff. But I admit when I'm wrong sometimes. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. And I do think a lot of this has to do with Bruce Cassidy. So we love the revenge narrative when it comes to coaches. Ditto for that. And Paul Maurice as a Florida Panther returning to Winnipeg on Tuesday night. Nick, another spot I like for a potential Cats win. Are you feeling it?
I'm feeling some props. I like that angle and I'm a little lower on the Jets, but I do think the Barkov-Lundell stack of two missing top centers. We saw Lundell slide into that top line center role with Barkov sidelined. Now he will likely remain out as well. I think that's kind of becoming a bit of a tough roster shortage to overcome.
Yeah.
But with that said, I do value the Panthers over the Jets significantly moving forward. I think they've been underrated this season because they're just not finishing at the level that we're going to see moving forward.
And I know your colleague as well, Mike Leboff, was all over Spencer Knight, man. This is a developing story, we'll call it, with Sergei Bobrovsky and his billion-dollar money in a backup capacity. But again, I think you look at Spencer Knight, if you want to take a flyer on a Vezina future, again, it's relatively early in this season. But again, there's not much value in the likes of maybe Shesterkin or Vasilevsky. Spencer Knight, are you feeling him this season?
I'm feeling him, and I think they locked him up with the plan, obviously, to play him a lot more. Yeah. and just live with what his deal is, and that Bobrovsky's deal is going to be horrible. So I think they are going to kind of just accept that he's the number one, and on a good team that obviously holds a lot of value. And Florida are defending a lot better now,
yeah,
I think is something we're seeing compared to last season.
Yeah, I think in general, Florida has sacrificed a bit in the regular season to be maybe a bit more successful in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And of course, only time will tell. The proof will be in the pudding on that front. Another game I'm looking at this week, Boston and Colorado, another big time matchup. I know Colorado is dinged up right now, but Boston just cleaned their clock back on Saturday at the Garden. This time they're going to play in Colorado. Does your opinion change at all, especially knowing who's missing for Colorado?
Yeah, I think it'll depend. If they're still so short, especially on the back end, they're just playing without a lot of notable pieces. That'll be one. I know we just touched on fade in Colorado, but if the prices are there, I think it's still Colorado or nothing. Yeah. From what I've watched recently, I don't think Boston are absolutely tilting the ice to the point where you want to back them as a heavy favorite versus good sides, like we said, Vegas, Colorado, teams like that.
Yeah, and it just feels like Colorado in general is on cruise control so far. And you probably expected this with the offseason they had, how short it was, winning the Stanley Cup. I don't want to call it sort of a hangover of sorts. But again, they're just finding their way and they're in a playoff spot. But they're 5-3-1 on home ice. So I would specifically look at that game, the Boston Bruins potentially on the road. But I think you're bang on. There's going to be more value in Colorado because of this Boston start. Speaking of value, I want to bring it up. I know the Wild don't have a home game this week. I know they're on the road all week long, but the one thing I've been on to lately is the over in Wild home games. I know this is a thing last year in the betting world, but they've hit the over now in 10 of 14 games on home ice. That's 71% of the home games for the Minnesota Wild. So as early as next Monday against Edmonton, we can hammer that again, Nick. Okay.
Yeah, I think you can hammer that. And I still think on the road this week, you can hammer it in Edmonton. That game's on Friday. I think if you can get a price of close to probably around minus 120 for the game to go over 6.5. I like that. I think the Oilers are kind of skating some of the same deficiencies. They've got some shaky-ish goaltending, especially if Skinner comes down to earth a little bit. And then the back end obviously is horrible, but they had to have the offensive talent to outscore that concern. And I just love targeting Oilers overs when they're facing a capable offensive side. And we saw those teams play a high-scoring match recently. I think that's kind of just the way that their strengths and deficiencies work with each other, and that's a great spot to target another high scoring game.
Yeah, you can be frank. Both those teams stink defensively. So I'm looking at that too. And again, they'll play next week coming up. Do you have a feel on what Minnesota is? I know my colleague Pete Jensen was a little low on them, you know, as compared to me, where I was a bit higher on them. I know you lose Kevin Fiala. You're leaning on a lot of youngsters, but defensively, they've been a train wreck, and it just seems like they can't find their way just yet.
For me, I still think they're going to get in because I have them valued above the Blues and Preds. In my opinion, I still think they're a better side than those. I don't know if they're a true cup contender. Obviously, they've got a shaky back end. Marc-Andre Fleury, it's really not that shocking that he's not playing well. He's kind of been more up and down than I think people realize over the last, I guess, even 7-8 years, you could say. Yeah. So for me, I think they're going to get in because the Central's maybe overrated, but I'm definitely not overly high on the Wild.
So you referenced some of the games that you're looking at this week. I mentioned a 51-game slate. It's always busy this time of year. There's a couple that you're looking at, especially next weekend, right?
Yeah, there's a few I like. I think a team that's undervalued right now, just because the start has been ugly, they've got some defensive concerns. But I think the Ottawa Senators in Nashville on Saturday, the Predators are going to be a team I'm looking to fade. And the Senators will probably be at around plus 120, plus 125 in that game. I think that'll be a really strong play. And then another one, it's an ugly game. You might not even want to watch it, but the Flyers at the Coyotes Sunday at Mullet Arena. I think the Flyers are going to be really live. Probably, I'd say, pick them or slight underdog. They have been competing well. I thought they had a really strong effort Saturday versus New Jersey. They haven't mailed it in yet. I think Arizona is a good spot for them to get back in the win column. Who knows? They might still be on a losing streak by the time that game comes up, but I think that's going to be a good time to get on Philly.
Every time he's out of a job, I forget how much I love John Tortorella. He's 25 games in. He delivers quote after quote after quote. Doesn't like answering questions. We love John Tortorella here on the podcast. I also love shot props, man. I won't lie. Lately, I've been chilling out a bit, you know, just watching the games. I just don't like the way they've adapted and evolved some of the shot props. But who do you, generally speaking, you know, what kind of shot props are you into?
Yeah, I think I like to go a little more on what I expect from a player kind of than an average handicapper who there's a lot of guys who just look at, you know, if a guy's hit it in 5 of 6, blah, blah, blah. And that can be great if it's something replicable. Sometimes I get sucked into guys who haven't been shooting as much that I'm so used to seeing shoot more. I think a great example of that and a guy I want to target that kind of combines both narratives this week, David Perron. I know if you followed last postseason, he was absolutely money to his shot prop. And I kind of was trying to ride him early this season and not getting such good results. He's now cashed in 6 of 7 to the over 2.5. And with Tyler Bertuzzi out, he's going to be skating in a considerably better role to get shots. So for me, he's a guy I'm looking at this week. I think if you can get Perron at a decent price, he should be reliable. He's starting to pour the puck on the net again. And that's kind of more true to the form we're used to seeing from him. I think that's the thing you got to watch. Sometimes these guys get on hot streaks where they're pouring the puck on the net. But as we know, shots are pretty random. Like it has to fall a certain way. Some guys are obviously more likely to just fire away from, you know, worse angles. But that's the weird thing with shot props, I think, is that you can have a guy who played a really strong game and ends up with one shot who you thought was a sweet target. And that's kind of just the nature of it. And you also got to be willing to go back to the well, I think. Like Shea Theodore, he missed in Columbus in what I thought was a smash spot last week. I went back on him the next game. He got 5. I think you got to be willing to accept sometimes a lot of shots get blocked, this or that. But you don't want to stay off kind of what you think is the right angle just because it missed.
Oh, you're telling me a couple of weeks back, I had like a 6-7 leg parlay that was just winced away by Brock Nelson shot block with 2 seconds remaining. So I feel the pain on a nightly basis. Love the Perron look. He's really started to cook as of late. Dominic Kubalik's another guy I've liked as of late for Detroit. Brady Tkachuk, man, like he is taking Ottawa on his shoulders. I don't think they're going to do anything. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but like he's playing really, really well. He's shooting the puck. I would be all over Brady Tkachuk now as well.
Yeah, I love Brady Tkachuk. And that line looks awesome. If you're playing DFS, whatever it is, targeting that unit, they're playing so well. We saw it in New York. They pretty much dragged that team to a win at MSG. I think targeting Stützle, Tkachuk, and Giroux is awesome right now.
How about Ottawa in general? Like, I think they're so fascinating because everybody's always so quick in the offseason to anoint a winner, and Ottawa's just been dreadful to start the year. In fact, I think they're the perfect team that has sort of buried themselves to a degree where they're not going to get out of that hole and they're not going to make the Stanley Cup playoffs. I hope I'm wrong, but do you see a lot of value maybe in the second half in an Ottawa team who is much better than they played so far in the early season?
Yeah, I was low on them entering the year, but they've been unlucky for sure. Yeah. Like we know their back end is shaky. It's not elite, but they've also still actually generated a ton of chances. And I think the body's on board. That's not that surprising. They've lost a ton of close games. So I agree. They're going to be a team I'm looking to back. We touched on how I think they're really live Saturday in Nashville. And I think, yeah, offensively, they're going to start to perform. The talent is there. I don't think they should be a middling offensive side. I think it's more just that that blue line is going to drag them down all season long.
Yeah, it's a work in progress. Although we did pimp Thomas Chabot on last week's episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice. He's found his way since coming back from injury, and so have the results for the Ottawa Senators. Speaking of results, I'm not sure what your general philosophy has been on Seattle. I know your colleague, Michael Leboff, was all over them from the beginning. Were you as well? Because this team's been phenomenal in terms of narratives.
Yeah, I've been pumping their tires hard. I think Dave Hextall's still live in the Jack Adams race as a playable bet. We've touched on that. Now it could be the time to fade them. The one concern that I have with them as someone who was high on the Kraken, they're getting pretty strong goaltending from Martin Jones. That's probably going to fall apart. And then at 5-on-5, they're shooting at a really high rate. They're scoring well above the expected rates. And I think that's going to be unsustainable. It's going to be harder to hide some of those Martin Jones performances when they stop scoring at such a crazy level. So I love the Kraken. I hope they still get to the playoffs. I think that they will. But it could be getting to the point where they're starting to be a little overvalued betting wise.
Yeah, that's one of my conundrums right now with one of my keeper league teams. I have Martin Jones, but I think you look further at the statistics, it's like 6, 7, 8 goals against per game, and he's still winning. Like, you have to think the data is going to go the other way. And I do think Philip Grubauer is going to grab that net. But I think in general, Seattle's put themselves to hit the over quite a bit, which is a far cry from last season, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. And one thing I'd be interested to hear your take on is, who do you think the Knights run away with the Pacific Division, or do you think Calgary or Seattle hang around in that?
I think Edmonton could be a dark horse too. I think if there's one thing we learned in the second half of last season, specifically with Calgary, right? I don't think Calgary was even in the conversation for that division. And then in the second half, the All-Star game hit, and next thing you know, they won game after game after game. So I always like to temper my expectations. I do think there's value in teams that are chasing, right? Like, Vegas has had this impeccable start, but I do think things go the other way. They're banged up. And then I just wonder how sustainable this is for like a Logan Thompson. Like, for me, that was the big story about Vegas going into this season, was the goaltending. You have no Robin Lehner, and credit to them. I mean, Thompson's been great for the most part. So has Aiden Hill, but is there staying power long-term is my question, Nick.
Yeah, and I think that's a great take. Same kind of thing we touched on with Vegas and Boston is, like, it's so hard to win in the NHL and the margins are so tight. It gets to a point where everything's going right and you kind of get fooled by the randomness of teams winning close games and so on. The exact opposite we saw with the Senators. They've lost so many close games where they probably could have won. And then I think you kind of trick yourself into thinking that team is so far beyond, they can't lose to this team or that team. And that's where you definitely got to be careful with backing these teams that are minus 200, minus 250.
Yeah, sometimes just so hard to find value. And since we're on that note, a team I cover, I host Leafs Morning Take on the Nation Network. Subscribe and listen right now, please. The Toronto Maple Leafs. How would you handicap that team? Because it's always a really good question as to when is the time to lay some money, to lay some juice on the Toronto Maple Leafs. Do you have a time in the season where it makes the most sense? Because we know just the betting money, the casual bettor always seems to bet in the Leafs and there's no value there.
Yeah, personally, I'm high on the Leafs. This is me and Leboff's biggest squabble. I think they're actually a truly elite side. He doesn't. I like backing them. I backed them Saturday versus Tampa. I thought they probably should have won that game. I found value with the Leafs. I think if you can pick your spots, personally, you have to understand there's a bit of a Leafs tax, but if you can pick the right spots, I find sometimes in games versus top competition, as backing them as an underdog can be great. I'm high on the Leafs. I still think they're an elite team. I know that's contrary to what a lot of analysts think, but I think The numbers are there to back them at strong prices. I'm interested to see how they do in Dallas tomorrow. I think they could be live as an underdog. I personally still value them as a better side than Dallas. I know they're kind of depleted right now. With that said, a lot of those guys that are out of the lineup that are kind of drawing headlines, they haven't been that good for the Leafs on a wins above replacement level. Like, I think Mac Hollowell, guys like that, is he really playing worse than Muzzin or TJ Brody by a decent margin? I don't think so. I think Lil Jagrin and Sandin, they're better than some of those guys. I personally am high on the Leafs. I don't like fading them. I still think futures-wise, maybe 13-1 win the cup is, I look at it and I see it. Team that's top five. I know nobody respects it, but like, last year's failures doesn't change what happens this season. As a Caps fan, I know that firsthand. I watched three playoff runs where they played the same kind of hockey before they finally got by on one goal over Pittsburgh, with Pittsburgh hitting the post, you know, 20 seconds before. And then that changes everyone's mindset. That has everyone saying they did 20 different things better. When the team, they interviewed Braden Holtby and they said, "What'd you do differently?" He said nothing. I think that's like a really interesting take talking about Toronto. And they're actually a team I'm going to be looking to back fairly often down the stretch of the season and even into the postseason.
Yeah, the margin for error is so slim. And certainly when you look at the Maple Leafs, they're an exceptional regular season team. But of course, it's all about that Stanley Cup. And come the springtime, I can't wait to see what sort of the numbers and the value looks like from the Maple Leafs perspective. A couple more things and we'll wrap here. Certainly the over-unders have been a story early on. What is the data? What are the themes and trends we've seen with the over-unders early on in the season here?
Yeah, goal scoring's up, obviously. Games are averaging past 6.5 goals. With that said, is that going to hold? Personally, I'd probably be looking to play a few more unders moving forward. We saw that last year. They did come out scoring at a historic rate. It depends on the side, though. I think there's teams where Columbus, Minnesota, in if you can pick the spots with any kind of accuracy, they're averaging so far past 6.5 goals. It's almost still just a strong blanket play. But I think, yeah, you just kind of got to look at the personnel and think about what's sustainable. And another one I like, I think I know you were on this last season, Blues overs. This year, they've played surprisingly well defensively and surprisingly slow start offensively. But I still think the personnel on hand, they're going to trend towards being a really strong over team.
I like Jordan Binnington to snap once a game. It's a 0.5. I think I always hit the over on that one. I don't understand that situation at all. But certainly, I think there's a lot of teams you would handicap from that perspective. And there's some you just like to stay away, right? Like there's just some trends and themes early on in the season where you really can't put your finger on, like, you know, teams providing offense that you didn't expect, like Seattle comes to mind. Arizona's another team, man. And I know Liboff is all over this too. Like they've hung in games, right? Like we all expected them to be historically bad the way they've been in, say, the last decade, but they're putting a good fight forward. And I understand it's a long season. They'll probably dip out in the second half of the year, but I do think there's a lot of substantial value right now in a team like Arizona.
For sure. Yeah. You can't forget, like, these are professionals. They got a lot of guys fighting for contracts. Like, it's obvious to say, but like, I see a lot of people saying things like, whatever, this team is dead. They have nothing to fight for. They're already mailing it in. It's like a lot of those guys, specifically on Arizona, even compared to a team like Chicago, they've got more young guys who are fighting for contracts, who are fighting for minutes, that sort of thing. So you got to keep in mind, they're going to be super scrappy. And especially into the final months of the year, I think you have to keep that in mind.
Your betting perspective, and we talked about injuries, like it is a reactionary market when you look at NHL betting. Couple injuries in terms of goaltending. Spencer Martin is going to be the number one now with Thatcher Demko on the shelf for at least 6 weeks. And your Washington Capitals, Darcy Kemper injured. So Charlie Lindgren, formerly of the St. Louis Blues, of course, of the Montreal Canadiens as well, we'll see an uptick in responsibilities. How would that impact sort of your betting strategy when attacking teams like Vancouver and Washington? Would you lean more towards the over knowing the backups are in?
Not with the Canucks, because I think Martin's been pretty sharp. Lindgren's kind of fallen apart for the Caps. I thought he was going to be really strong after his first two outings. But yeah, you definitely want to watch. And one thing I'll touch on quick is like a great thing to try to capitalize on handicapping wise is spots where you think a backup could start the night before. So say you're tracking Tampa Bay, Vasilevsky's played four straight. It's a back-to-back spot. There's a lot of times I'll find the number will move significantly once there's the official announcement, but like you can kind of predict it and then jump the line. So I think sometimes that's a good betting angle to get in on.
Yeah, that's one of my strategies actually is the night before I'll look at the slate and sort of try to be the coach in my head and say, who do I think is going to start? And sometimes you see trends and themes. Like I know, for the most part, a team like Vegas has been going 2-1 recently, 3-1 with Thompson and Aiden Hill. So be ahead. I think you can find extreme value because the market seems to correct when we find out the goalies, right?
Yeah, for sure. And it's the same thing we touched on with those player props. If you can get it, especially the first game of narrative, like that happens, they won't move the prices, which in the NFL, the NBA, they will. In the NHL, you can find smash spots where a guy sits, you see someone's moved up to the top line, and then you just get on him for whatever you can, goals, or points, assists.
What's coming up with line change this week?
We've got our Monday, Wednesday shows. We'll be breaking down the Tuesday, Thursday slates and just picking our favorite sides and underdogs.
Phenomenal. Remember to subscribe, leave us a review. Be sure to check out the latest edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice with Pete Jensen and yours truly, featuring waiver wire James. Nick, this has been a blast, my man.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. That was awesome.
No worries. For Nick Martin and producer Bob Bender, I'm Nick Alberga. Thanks for listening to another collaboration between the NHL and the Action Network.